Jet 2 Holidays pledge to stop selling tickets to marine parks.
Victory for plant-based meat as French Conseil d'Etat suspends labelling decree.
And Wetherspoons have launched their latest non-vegan option, sliced limes.
Anyway, that's enough of the falafel. I'm Nazia.
And I'm Anthony.
And this is episode 57 of Vegan Week. So, welcome everyone to the show.
Indeedy. And whether this is your first time along with us or your 57th time, it's really great to have you with us. Today, we are talking about all things vegan and animal rights news. We also do a talk show called Vegan Talk. We've got a series from January called Going Vegan, where we hear people's vegan stories. But today, we are all about the news. And before we go any further, we need to say thanks to our sponsors, Fire and Flow Coffee. They're based just down the road from me, as it happens. They're a 100% vegan company. They specialize in coffee. They also do tea as well. And you can get their stuff online if you're not from the Cotswolds, www.fireandflowcoffee.co.uk. And if you're listening now, you've got the secret code, falafel10. If you enter that in to the checkout, you will get 10% off your order. So that's falafel and then the number 10.
Right, that's enough of the falafel. Let's hear what's been going on in this week's news. So we're going to cover a dozen or so stories very briefly before looking at picks of the week and then our main story of the week.
Okay, and we will start, as always, with news that is affecting animals right now. Quite a sad one to start with here from the Animal Reader. In the United States, wildlife officials have got a plan to save spotted owls. Now, that sounds really positive, but their plan involves killing around 500,000 barred owls. Listeners from the UK will be aware of grey squirrels and red squirrels and how often one is perceived as more worthy than the other and one's controlled to help the other. Well, it's quite similar to this. So the officials are trying to save the spotted owl by reducing the number of the barred owls. Now, these spotted owls, they live in the forests of the Pacific Northwest, including states like California, Washington, Oregon, ones like that. They depend on old large trees, and many of these trees have been cut down by humans. The barred owls are slightly larger, they're more robust. They've started encroaching on the spotted owl's territory. And because the barred owl is able to thrive in varied environments and consume a broader range of food, the spotted owl is basically being ousted. And the US Fish and Wildlife Service have drafted a plan to selectively kill these barred owls in certain regions. They think that's going to help. Thankfully, and hopefully, representatives from around 75 wildlife and animal welfare organizations have urged them to reconsider their plans. So we'll keep you updated on that if we get more news on that. More sad news, I'm afraid. Again, from the Animal Reader. They're a great website, but they often bear unpleasant news about what's happening to animals in the world. A 60-year-old ship transporting nearly 7,000 sheep and lambs became stranded off the coast of Greece last Friday. The live animal carrier encountered trouble when departing from Georgia and headed for Saudi Arabia. It ran aground on the northern shore of a Greek island in the eastern Aegean Sea. After being stuck for several hours, the ship was refloated with the sheep still on board. Obviously, their fate is still not going to be a pleasant one. They are going to be killed once they arrive in Saudi Arabia. But more news of horrible stuff happening in live export boats across the world. And finally, in this section of the news, a horse was killed by track staff at an under tack show. That's a kind of really quick sprint horse race in Ocala, Florida, after a collision and a jockey lay motionless on the ground. The jockey was okay. The event was live streamed. It's now been deleted from the OBS webpage. But the footage showed a young horse colliding at high speed with a track barrier. The jockey was flung into the railings, tumbled to the ground, and the footage then showed track officials euthanizing the struggling horse. A PETA investigator was on the scene filming what was going on, but they were reportedly assaulted. They were grabbed repeatedly, getting their backpack wrenched off them and being prevented from leaving. They've filed a complaint with the police for assault, battery, theft and unlawful detainment, but an all-round show there. But thankfully, Peter have documented it.
Moving on to slightly less depressing lifestyle news. So this one's from Plant-Based News, and it's a viral one. One punter spotted a sign at a Wetherspoons in Bristol warning that they could not guarantee, unfortunately, that the fruit garnishes were vegan. So Plant-Based News contacted Wetherspoons for comment on the signs, and a spokesman, Eddie Gershon, explained that the pub chain normally sources its lemons and limes from a vegan-friendly supplier. However, for a limited period of time, they were using different suppliers for their limes across their pubs. And he said, "We cannot, with the new supplier, guarantee that the limes are vegan-friendly, and as a result, have put up the notice in our pubs."
Indeed, and that's going to be my pick of the news, so we'll chew more over that one in a minute. Now, a question to everyone listening, well, maybe for you, Nazia, too. Would you rather have food labelled as vegan or plant-based? Do you have an opinion on that, Nazia?
I think vegan.
Okay.
It's more clear to me.
Yeah, cool. Well, you are in the majority. 74% of participants in a recent survey conducted by Vegan Food and Living agreed they would rather have the word vegan used than plant-based. This was part of Vegan Food and Living's Big Vegan Survey. They do it every year. They ask thousands of vegans how they feel about a variety of different subjects, quality of supermarket products, thoughts on climate change, agriculture, things like that. This year, their big topic was food labeling, and 74% of participants said they preferred the term vegan to plant-based. There we go. That's all we've got to say on that one.
And from the Vegconomist, two sisters, Sam Roblett and Jane Elliott, have launched an international vegan business directory to promote collaboration and support within the vegan community. The directory already has over 800 listings and boasts 150 categories. These include 12 main categories, such as food and drink and beauty and cosmetics, along with subcategories like catering, fast food and hair care products. It's free to add a listing and to view the directory.
That sounds really good, that, doesn't it? I was really impressed.
Yeah.
So long as people use it, it's one of those where if people don't use it, then it's pointless. But
yeah, I mean, hopefully people do. I can see that having some good success in the future.
Fingers crossed. Well, link in the show notes for anyone that wants to add their business to that or businesses they know. Final bit of lifestyle news. Really positive, I thought, this one from Vegconomist. So this is the news that in the US, the Biden-Harris administration, in collaboration with various US departments, so the Agriculture's Food and Nutrition Service, they've announced significant updates to the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for women, infants and children. A bit of a mouthful. But the main notable thing here for our topic anyway is that they've incorporated plant-based yogurts and cheeses into this, which is really positive for people who are wanting to have obviously dairy-free versions of yogurt and cheese. So the WIC program, just for a bit of background, its aim is to ensure good health for low-income pregnant women, new mothers, breastfeeding mothers, and children up to age 5 by providing food packages, vouchers, and nutritional education. And it reaches a significant proportion of American families with young children. Reportedly, just over 6.5 million people get these WIC benefits each month. So brilliant that they've increased their vegan range.
That is positive. So moving on to business, from the Animal Reader, according to a new study released on Thursday, the financial contributions of banks like Bank of America, Citigroup and JP Morgan Chase to the meat and dairy industry are conflicting with their climate goals. The report, titled "Bull in the Climate Shop, Industrial Livestock Financing Sabotages Major US Banks' Climate Commitments," revealed that from 2016 to 2023, 58 American banks invested $134 billion in sectors associated with meat, dairy, and animal feed. The study was conducted by the Netherlands-based research group Profundo and United States-based environmental organization Friends of the Earth. It points out a significant inconsistency in the bank's strategies to fulfill their climate objectives. The investments in meat and dairy and feed industries are significantly impacting the bank's emission goals. They contribute to around 11% of the total emissions that the banks are responsible for. Moving on from the Vegconomist again, In South Africa, the Johannesburg High Court has overturned the planned seizure of plant-based meat alternatives marketed using meat-like terms in South Africa. These products will now remain permanently available in the country. The Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development first banned the use of meat-like terms on plant-based product labels in June 2022, arguing that it was misleading to consumers. The department instructed the Food Safety Agency to seize any non-compliant products. However, plant-based advocates took the case to the Johannesburg High Court, successfully arguing that plant-based meat alternatives were not covered by legislation relating to the classification and labelling of processed meats. The court temporarily halted the planned seizure of the products in August 2022. Following a review, the decision to seize the meat alternatives has been overturned altogether, with the court concluding that it is not legally enforceable.
I don't know about you, Nazia, but like when I'm learning about that story, I'm just imagining this big pile somewhere of like fake meat, and it's kind of wondering like, are we going to be seized or are we not? Like it seems like it's been hanging in the balance for like years as to what's going to happen to this plant-based meat, but sounds like it's safe.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
if I was a vegan in South Africa, I'd be worried. Just like, when will I have to stop, you know, buying my fake meats?
Yeah, that totally must be happening, mustn't it? Well, they can breathe a sigh of relief now.
Yeah, thankfully.
Yeah.
So also from The Veg Economist, similar news from France, and we will be going into more detail on this one a little bit later as well. So the French Conseil d'État has suspended a decree banning the use of meat-like terms such as steak and ham for plant-based products. The suspension was requested by several plant-based food producers, including La Vie, Umiami, Happivore, Nutrition and Santé, Next Food and Olga. The Conseil d'État agreed to suspend the decree, which would have come into force on the 1st of May, on the basis that it may not be legal and could be damaging to plant-based meat producers. For once, they're actually thinking of the plant-based producers.
Yeah, I know. It's impressive that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everything's coming up vegan. Okay, so as always, we have not got time to go into every story in a lot more detail. If you have taken a particular shine to any of the stories that you've heard, look in our show notes. You'll have a link to the original news story for that one. But we are now just going to pick out our favourites and flesh them out in a bit more detail before we get on to our main story for the week.
So, Ant, what was your favourite story out of the selection?
Well, do you know what? To start with, I was really annoyed by it. But it's this whole thing about Wetherspoon's customers being baffled after being told that the drinks weren't suitable for vegans or things like that. It's one of those where initially I wouldn't say it was news, and I get really frustrated by these things just popping up in news feeds. It's just all clickbait stuff that gets people commenting. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought that actually it shows how difficult it is to be vegan sometimes or to know what the right thing to do is. So just for more context, obviously, Naz, you've covered this one in our rundown of the news, but basically it seems like wherever Wetherspoons get their limes from, it's normally from an unwaxed lime source, so all fine for vegans, but temporarily they've had to be getting them from somewhere else where presumably they have got either shellac or beeswax on. So they're not suitable for vegans. I mean, number one, I'm surprised that they actually brought this up. I don't know whether there is a vegan who works within them or they're just really hot on this stuff, because I imagine stuff like that will happen all the time and companies just won't even notice or think about it. So great that they're bringing it to people's attention. I think it got a bit of coverage initially because people weren't sure why they were saying all of a sudden certain drinks weren't suitable for vegans. But the main thing that it made me think, and I'd be interested in your thoughts on this, Nazia, as well as any listeners who want to get in touch with their opinions, it's one of those where I kind of almost don't know, not whether it's worth bringing up, but like the reaction to it by many has been, oh, bloody vegans. Oh, it's another thing, another, you know, another tedious, tiny little thing. Now, obviously, you know, if we take it as shellac that's coating a lime slice, that does involve animal exploitation. I'm certainly not belittling that. And it's great that people are being made aware of another bit of animal exploitation that happens in the world. I just think I would rather, I'm sounding really picky here because I think Wetherspoons have actually done quite a good job here, but actually instead of saying vegan drinks, like the signs that you can see in these news stories, it says vegan drinks, these drinks aren't suitable for vegans anymore, actually just saying, just so you know, our limes currently contain animal products. That I think I would be much happier with, but I really don't like the implication here that like vegans are so picky they're gonna have an issue with a slice of lime in their drink. Do you get where I'm coming from? Am I sounding really picky?
No, I totally get where you're coming from. And funnily enough, I had the news article come up on my phone news feed, and it was a clickbaity headline, and it, you know, saying, one, it's saying, oh, vegans are really picky, or it's saying, look how hard it is to be to be vegan. You can't even get vegan lemons and limes anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it's, you know, there's going to be some people that are going to take that stance and blow all out of proportion. But you can just go into a pub and order the drink without a lime and lemon.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, it made me think, actually, I've never even considered that. Like when buying stuff, I will check to see whether it's waxed or not, and only get it if it's unwaxed. But actually, in a pub, I've never asked for a drink without. So it's like it's good awareness raising, even for vegans, isn't it?
But, and for a business like Wetherspoons, they would be the last ones I would expect to go into that much consideration. I mean, good on them, but yeah, it's just a shame that some journalists have to kind of twist it.
Yeah,
and
it made me think even more that I'm like, I'm really proud of being vegan. I rarely balk from using the word, but it just put me in a bit of a mood of saying, do you know what, like, screw the word vegan. Like, it's about animal exploitation. That's the issue. That's what veganism is about. It's about animal use and exploitation. And actually, maybe let's just start using that phrase a bit more. Because if this sign just said, just so you know, everyone, because everyone should know, just so you know, everyone, our limes contain secretions from the lac bug currently. Just thought you should all know. Like, that's fine. That's great. That's brilliant. That does exactly the same thing. Whereas I think 99% of people looking at this now are going, oh, bloody vegans. What are they getting on their, not their high horse, but what are they getting uppity about now, you know?
And a lot of people actually don't know what shellac is.
No.
So if it brings awareness.
Yeah.
And, you know, next time they see, for example, a lot of candy has shellac in. So next time they go to the supermarket and see shellac, maybe they'll have some awareness and be like, oh, I don't want that actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. But no, so but I'm going to mark the date in the calendar that I reckon this story has been Wetherspoons pubs actually prompting a good chunk of vegans to go, do you know what? I've never even thought about that. And I need to make sure next time I order a drink, I do that. So,
there's going to be a lot of waiters, waitresses and bar staff that are going to be so annoyed.
Yeah. Well, you never know. I mean, how many... It must have had a big dent in the kind of plastic straw industry, the whole furore a few years ago about plastic straws. And I imagine it's a much less feasible business now. I can't imagine the same thing happening here because there's not been some really emotive footage put on a BBC documentary about lac beetles and them suffering. But you never know, do you? Like, it could become a thing that's
no, but it's a small step in the right direction, and that's what we can hope for.
Absolutely. Right, enough free publicity for Wetherspoons. Let's move on. Nazia, what is your pick of the news this week?
So I have picked the news based in France, and this is about the victory for plant-based meat. So I first heard about this on social media because I follow a lot of the companies that were involved in requesting a suspension. And what I didn't realise was the most recent one was the second time that this is word steak and ham and whatever has been, they've tried to ban it in France. So the first time was in 2022, and this followed pressure from the animal agriculture industry, which claimed that labelling practising was confusing for consumers. However, the decree was suspended a few weeks later. And then in 2003, the Conseil d'État asked the European Court of Justice for clarification as to whether the ban would even be legal. And a new draft decree was proposed in September 2023, which would again ban plant-based producers from using meat-like terms. And this was published in February of this year, and now it's just been suspended. And what was so stupid about this decree was, if a product was produced in France, they weren't allowed to use the word, like things like steak and ham. But if a product was produced outside of France, they could use the term.
Yeah.
So you can go to one supermarket and you can have Beyond Meat on the shelf and it can say Beyond Meat steak because it's not produced. Or there's another one, a Spanish brand, Hura. So they could say steak. But if it was Happyvore, they can't say steak.
Yeah. Well, we covered it on the show, a couple months ago. And I seem to remember someone bringing that up and saying, well, actually, if it's about confusion, like there's just as much confusion, in fact, more confusion, because
exactly. Yeah. And also for products like La Vie, what would you call like their vegan ham or vegan bacon? What, like for other things, you can maybe find a cinnamon or whatever.
Yeah.
But what would you call ham if you don't call it ham? Like, yeah. And also, isn't that just the animal agriculture industry calling their customers stupid?
Yeah. Well, it's just any kind of tactic, isn't it, to slow things down. Like, I think they know it's not actually going to really make a difference in the long term. They're just playing for time, aren't they?
Yeah. And, you know, if you really want to avoid your customers from getting confused, ask the supermarkets to, and in my local supermarket, they have done this. They've moved all the plant-based and vegan meats to a different part. So yeah. So before it was all on the same aisle, whereas now they've moved it not too far, but just like moved it out the way.
Yeah.
And which is fine for me because I don't want to walk past the meat aisle anyway to get to my plant-based and vegan meats.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's been overturned. And also for these companies, they would have had to have gone through all this work trying to think of new names, trying to, change their packaging.
Yeah.
Well, absolute nonsense.
I think that's the main hope of the animal ag industries is to just disrupt and just slow things down and be a pain in the backside. I mean, like for context, Nazia, like you're living in France, like have you noticed a difference or anything to do with this? Because I mean, there was a couple months where this had been put through and now it's been suspended, hasn't it? It's not been completely overturned.
No.
Like, was there a difference in those couple of months? Or like you say, you're still allowed to have foreign imports with meaty names. So it's...
Yeah, you're still allowed to have foreign imports. And I mean, I personally didn't notice a difference. If anything, what I have noticed is the companies that produce vegan and plant-based alternatives, they've come out with even more products.
Yeah.
I mean, like France in general, it has a long way to go in terms of promoting and embracing veganism. But I think this is quite a huge step if they've suspended it and they don't go through with it at all. That would be a massive win for a country that is like years behind on veganism.
Yeah. Well, we'll see, won't we? It's with the EU now, isn't it, with this suspension. I think that's sort of the...
Yeah, and I just, like, I don't understand how you can have that in one EU country and then not have it in every EU country.
Yes.
And other European countries are so much more advanced in veganism than France. So I just don't see how it would work.
Well, we shall see. We shall see. You'll have to keep us up to date. You can be our French French meat product, plant-based meat product correspondent. You can
Gladly.
There's a job title. Right, let's move on to our main story now. So this originally, I'm going to put forward a bit of a conspiracy theory here, okay? So I'm going to report the news, and then Nazi, you're going to tell me if I sound like I'm a bit of a crackpot wearing a tinfoil hat here. So popped into my feed this week when I was researching the show from veganfoodandliving.com announcing that Jet 2 Holidays were pledging to stop selling tickets to Marine Park. So on the face of it, sounds like a really nice story. It's following years of campaigning from animal welfareists. They're now saying we're not going to sell tickets to marine animal parks. That's a decision that we've made. And it got me thinking, hang on, I'm sure I saw a story like this recently. And I did a bit of Googling, and I'd got EasyJet in my head, and I found, yeah, EasyJet, March the 14th, reported in many places. I've got it on my screen here from travelweekly.co.uk. EasyJet holidays ban attractions that exploit animals. So the story says they've got a new animal welfare policy, which means the operator won't offer or promote any harmful animal-based attractions. And I was thinking, well, that's a bit of a coincidence, isn't it? And I got thinking a bit more. And then I was like, hang on, I'm sure I heard a podcast in the last few months talking about a change in the law. And so again, I did a bit of researching. And 2023, the 18th of September, I'm on the legislation.gov.uk now. This is called the Animals, open brackets, Low Welfare Activities Abroad, close brackets, Act 2023. And this is an act to prohibit the sale and advertising of activities abroad which involve low standards of welfare for animals. And it basically says you're committing an offence if you sell or offer or arrange to sell any right to observe or participate in an activity in which involves an animal, takes place outside the UK, and keeps animals in poor conditions, treats them badly, or things like that. So actually, since September last year, this has been the law. And yet what seems to be happening is travel companies are going, hey, everyone, we've been thinking it through, and we think it's really bad, marine parks. So we've decided as a company, we're not going to sell tickets to them anymore. And they're getting applauded. Like, so on veganfoodandliving.com, like Jet 2 Holidays, they're getting loads of praise for doing this move. But actually, they're just keeping up with a law that changed like 6 months ago. Am I sounding like what's he called? David Icke here, Nazia, or
the vegan David Icke.
The vegan David Icke. This podcast probably now won't reach anyone. It will get automatically deleted. Now we've mentioned his name 3 times.
Oh, don't mention Alex Jones.
No, stop!
No, I think you're onto something there. I mean, obviously, when a bit of legislation passes, unless that gets the attention it needs, not many people are going to be aware of it. Mm. Whereas if massive companies make a change, that will get picked up in the news. And I mean, these are budget airlines, aren't they? So they're not going to want to spend extra resources trying to make sure if any of their attractions are meeting the standards of the legislation. So they're probably thinking it's probably just cheaper not to bother.
Yeah.
Like they're doing it from a economical point of view. Mm. They are kind of piggybacking on work done by others.
They absolutely are.
And getting all the praise for it.
Yeah. I mean, it's so reading from this one that came out last month. So EasyJet Holidays Chief Operating Officer Matt Callahan said last month, this was off the back of the news that they're banning attractions that exploit animals. They're not going to sell tickets to them anymore. We're committed to being an industry leader when it comes to responsible travel. Our own research tells us that sustainable travel experiences are important to our customers, so we want to make it easy for them to holiday better. We're passionate about the protection and respect of all forms of nature in the destination. Like, what a load of rubbish. No,
that's coming from an airline company.
Yeah. But it's utter tosh, isn't it? Like, it became against the law 6 months before this press release. Like,
yeah,
it's obviously frustrating. The main question I can't get my head round is, should we be getting cross about this, or do we just say, look, the law's changed, companies are changing, let's just take it. Or like, do we need to call people out? Because it's a bit late, because I'm already calling this person out. But like, as a movement, should we be like saying, hang on, no, you don't get to take the credit for this. Number one, it's been animal rights organizations that have been pushing for this legal change. And number two, it's a legal change. Like, don't go trying to get positive PR from this.
I think I wonder also if, because as consumers, there's more awareness around animal exploitation, maybe there's not as much demand. So it could be, I'm just speculating here, but it could also just be another business decision. We're not making enough money because people don't want to be paying for animal exploitation like this anymore. Therefore, but they're going to spin it to make out that they're, you know, and I think no one's wrong to be annoyed at that. I think they should be called out. Mm. And it's just a bit hypocritical because A, they're airline companies, they're still contributing to a lot of issues with the climate, and they're probably still serving a lot of meat on their on their airlines. So, you know.
Well, as well, I mean, like, you're right that the food that they're serving on their airline, but also like if they're a package holiday operator, they're going to be selling sort of combined flight and hotel deals, like an all-inclusive hotel. Like, are you even checking to see where the hotel you're selling tickets to, like where they source their meat, like what the conditions of those animals are? Of course you're not.
Exactly. And, you know, if you go to just one resort, how many restaurants do they have? So how many animals are being served, you know?
The one kind of silver lining I can take away from this is that it reaffirms that it's trendy to be thoughtful and compassionate and, you know, to be saying the right thing, even if we're saying that they're being disingenuous for the time being. And let's hope it continues for a company to say, hey, it's really important to us that, you know, things are sustainable or that animals are kept in good conditions or whatever. Like, that's seen as a nice thing to say.
I mean, it's annoying that it has to... No, it's just annoying that it has to be a trend.
Well, hopefully it's not a trend. But hopefully it's the start of an evolution. No.
But, yeah, I mean, it's not perfect, but I hate saying this, but it's something, you know. It's far from perfect.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
We'll take
it.
I'm just thinking how many things can I kind of get away with that are illegal, but I can claim the credit for saying, hey, everyone, just I thought you might like to give me a pat on the back. I didn't murder anyone today. I've decided as an individual that like murdering people is really wrong. So I've decided I'm not going to do that. And everyone goes, oh, well done, Anthony. Like, let's put you in the newspaper today. Congratulations. Well, I think we have said everything that we need to say about package holidays. And as we were saying off air, Nazia, just good to avoid them, I think, generally, isn't it? especially now they're trying to take all this credit for.
Exactly. I think all the more reason to avoid them. Don't give them what they want. So listeners, let us know what you thought about the main story or indeed anything else that we've covered in the show. And you can share your thoughts by emailing enoughofthefalafel@gmail.com. So thank you for listening. And don't forget to check out the back catalogue and other shows that we've had.
Indeed. And heads up for our next episode. Nazia and myself will be joining you this Thursday on Vegan Talk, where we are going to be talking about veganism and intersectionality, so long as we can say it, because we've been struggling with the pronunciation. But we'll have it down.
Yes.
By Thursday, we'll have it down.
Oh, I will try. So anyway, that's enough of the falafel for this episode. I've been Nazia.
And I've been Anthony. And you've been listening to episode 57 of Vegan Week.
This show is kindly sponsored by our friends at Fire and Flow Coffee Roasters. And they're such great people. They're offering all Enough of the Falafel listeners a cheeky 10% off orders on their online store when using the code FALAFEL10. That's FALAFEL, the number 10, Fire and Flow are a specialty coffee roastery based in the Cotswold with a fully vegan coffee shop on site.
Yeah, they're a vegan founded company too. They're run by three friends, Shah, Callum and Phil, and they specialise in roasting and supplying wholesale coffee beans to coffee shops, restaurants, hotels and offices.
For the wholesale part of their operations, they work with other businesses to help them get the most out of their coffee offering, with free barista training and full technical support included.
The products themselves are the result of their passion for working with skilled and ethical-minded farmers who produce the highest quality beans. Fire and Flow then roast them to perfection in small batches at their roastery in Cirencester, which you can visit at any time, book onto one of their barista courses or roastery tours via their website, fireandflowcoffee.co.uk.
While you're there, you can check out the beautiful, fully vegan coffee shop on site. I've been there myself. It's absolutely brilliant. And it's open 7 days a week from 9 till 3. The last time I went, it was a Sunday afternoon. It was glorious. It's just a fab place to hang out and feel good about life.
Give them a follow on Instagram to get the latest at Fire and Flow Coffee. And for those online orders, remember the code exclusively for our brilliant Enough of the Falafel community. That is Falafel10. 10 is 1 and 0. So Falafel10.